Well, I want to welcome you today to the continuation of our Overloaded message series, and I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are joining us online, and those of you who are joining us at our brand new Sunnyvale campus that launched last week with 496 people in attendance. We praise God for what He did in you and through you last week. We're so grateful for our volunteers, our staff, our leaders over there, Felipe, Pablo, the entire team. God is doing great things and has great plans for you. What a huge victory for our church to go from one to two campuses, one church, one vision in two locations. And God has incredible things that He wants to do both through North San Jose and Sunnyvale as we go into the future by faith. Now, today we're continuing our Overloaded series. We're looking at this idea that so many of us live overloaded lives. We live lives where we get to the end of our month, we don't have enough money to pay the bills or to sustain us many times. We live lives where we get to the end of our days, we're exhausted, we're drained, and we don't have enough energy for the most important people in our lives. So much of our lives, we feel this crunch with stress, with pressure, with anxiety that weighs heavy on us. And what we're saying through the series is that's not how God wants us to live. In fact, how God wants us to live is with peace. God wants you to experience a rich and satisfying life. And what we said last week is the best way to experience the rich and satisfying kind of life that God wants us to live with when we're under pressure and when we're overloaded is to create breathing room. Or for better words, what we said last week is to create margin. Now, we said last week, margin is this. Margin is that gap between you and the car in front of you when you're driving down 101. It's that distance that allows you to feel safe. Remember in driver's ed, they said one car length for every 10 miles an hour. Now, very few of us obey that rule, but it's that breathing room between us and the next car. Margin for us is that gap when you're reading a book that's between the edges of the word and the edges of the page that allow your eyes to settle in on the words and absorb the message of the book that you're reading. Margin, very simply, as we've been looking through this series, is the gap between your limit and your load. See, all of us have a load that we're carrying, that load of responsibilities and relationships that we carry through our lives, and then we have a limitation. We have a max that we can carry, and the gap between our limitations and our loads ultimately is the margin. And when those two converge, there's no margin. When those two converge, there's anxiety, there's frustration, there's stress in our relationships. And what we said last week is we want to increase the margin of our lives. Last week, we looked at a very simple strategy for increasing our margin, and that's to lighten the load. We said last week that many times we carry loads that Jesus does not intend for us to carry, and so we can check our load, and if there's something that we're carrying that God doesn't want us to carry, we can give it back or we can lay it at His feet. And then today, we're going to look at this. The other strategy for increasing the margin in our lives is to increase the limit. That's the whole focus of our time today, is to increase our capacity. Now, to start us off, I want to ask you a question, and I'd like for you to write this question down in your notes. What is your current challenge level in life? Now, let me explain what I mean to you by this. Every single one of us, when we look at how challenged we are in life, we have a lot of different categories. We have the categories of our relationships. We have the categories of our workplaces. We have the category of finances. What is your current challenge level in your life? Now, I want to give you a little bit of a graph to write down. I want you to write down on your notes a horizontal line, break it down into thirds, and we're going to look at three categories of how challenged we feel at this point in our life. The first category is when we're appropriately challenged. This means that you wake up in the morning and you have responsibility. You have things that have to get accomplished. You have a to-do list. Sometimes it means that there's laundry that needs to be washed. There are bills that need to be paid. But at the end of the day, you can get it all done. You feel appropriately challenged. Now, the second category that we're going to look at is the category of being under-challenged. Now, there are several different cases of being under-challenged. There's the time when you're at work and there's not enough work for you to do, or you work at a place that doesn't require you to give your best energy. It's a place that's way below your capacity. That's being under challenge. But under challenge also could mean that you're staying up late at night watching multiple movies. You're waking up halfway through the day watching reruns of soap operas on Telemundo. You're watching Dr. Phil, not that there's anything wrong with Dr. Phil, reruns of Jerry Springer. It's this under challenge category. Now, nobody's going to self-identify as being under challenge after I said that. But many of us are under challenged even with our jobs, not as a result of our choice, but just because of the position that we're in with our lives. Now, the third category that we've been looking at through this series, and the whole purpose that we're having this series, is the over-challenge category. Now, the over-challenge category, when we find ourselves here, this is when we start to think things to ourselves like, I cannot carry this load anymore. If one more thing gets piled on top of me, I'm going to drop it all. It's the point where we start to think things like this to ourselves. I'm done with this. I'm done with this friendship. I'm done with this dating relationship. I'm done with this job. I'm done with these kids. I want it to be over. See, all of us today are at some point along this continuum with our current challenge level in life. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at this graph and look at it from a 0 to 10, 0 being under challenge, 10 being over challenge. And I want you to put yourself somewhere on this line with an X. I want you to write down where you are, how challenged you are with your current load of relationships and responsibilities that you're carrying. Now, we won't do a symbol of hands, so this is just between you and God. If you believe in God, where on this line are you? Some of us are under-challenged, some appropriately challenged, some over-challenged. Now, I want to ask you a follow-up question. The follow-up question, two questions together that have the exact same answer. The question I want you to ask is, where do you think God wants you to live on this graph? Do you think God wants you to watch reruns of Telemundo every morning? I'm sorry, for some reason I like to harp on Telemundo. It's a really cool show. The soap operas there are awesome. But anyways, do you think God wants you to live under-challenged? Do you think you want God wants you to live appropriately challenged or over-challenged? And then the second question, which I believe has the same answer, is where do you think you do your best work? Where do you think that your performance is going to be at its highest level of capacity? On this graph, I want you now to go ahead and put a circle where you think that is. Where does God want you to live? So you got one X, and then you got a circle that describes where we should be or where we should live. Now, I'm going to give you what I believe is the answer to where God wants us to live. I believe that there is this narrow zone right at the edge of being appropriately challenged and over-challenged that we will call the stretch zone. It's like when you're lifting weights. Remember when you would go to the gym? Maybe you never did, but when somebody went to the gym, the PE teacher would say that when you lift weights, you shouldn't lift so little that it doesn't tax your muscles. But if you lift too much, what's going to happen? You're going to tear the muscle. Then you're not going to be able to work out anymore. I remember Tony Horton all the time when I did P90X, got about halfway through it. But I remember when Tony Horton would always say things like, hey, if you work out too hard and you don't stretch and you put too much weight on the front end, you're going to break the muscle down. But there's this zone right here called the stretch zone. Now, with this series, what we're identifying is this is where so many of us live our lives. It's in this danger zone that is at the top of being over-challenged. And when our load and our limit come together, that's when we find ourselves in this danger zone. Ready to throw in the towel, ready to quit, ready to give up on our marriage, give up on our job, go live, under a bridge somewhere and suck our thumb. We get in this zone of having nothing left to give. And what God wants to do is to move us to this stretch zone where we're just on the edge of our capacity, where it requires trust, where it requires faith in Him to move on our behalf. That's what we want to talk about today. And when we're here in the danger zone, we can get back to the stretch zone by doing what we said last week. Number one, by lightening the load. But secondly, today we want to talk about getting here by increasing our capacity. In fact, last week we looked at this verse from Matthew chapter 11, verse number 29. Let me read it to you. Jesus says this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what we talked about last week. But after our message last Sunday, we had all of these people come up and ask questions. Well, I understand that Jesus wants me to bring my load to him, but somebody has to pay the mortgage bill, right? I mean, go tell that to the mortgage broker that Jesus said, just drop all your loads at his feet. Or somebody has to study for the test or write the paper that I have to turn into my professor. Go tell my parents that I'm supposed to lay my loads at the feet of Jesus. Maybe you've been there before where you think things like, okay, I should lighten my load by giving it to God, but what does that really mean when it comes to my day-to-day life of the bills that have to be paid? Or tell my employer that Jesus said to lighten the load, and I decided that I wasn't going to do the work that was required for the project. So when you've already looked through your life and you can't just stop changing the diaper of your one-year-old and you can't stop paying your mortgage or you can't just decide that you don't want to study for your test at school, what do? That's what we're talking about today. You do the other thing that Jesus says in this passage. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus says that the secret is not just in lightening your load, but the secret is in learning my ways of living, learning my teachings and my precepts, and following in them will lead to this kind of life that we're talking about, where there's breathing room, where there's margin, where there's peace, where there's sanity. And very simply, the strategy for increasing your capacity that I want to talk to you about today is this biblical concept of increasing your wisdom for carrying your load, wisdom from above, from God, that helps you, from Jesus, that helps you know how to carry the load that you can't just drop. That's what we're going to talk about in the few moments that we have together. Now, today we're going to look at a story found in the Bible, a true story of a man who was incredibly overloaded. Now, let me set the context for you about this guy. This man who is feeling overloaded in this story is the son of King David for the nation of Israel. Now, Israel, at the time that we're looking at this story, has grown to be one of the most powerful nations in the entire world. David has built this empire up with God's help and his power, and David is about to pass the keys of the kingdom to his son Solomon, and Solomon steps into leadership over the entire nation of Israel. Never having led anything this large before, not having the knowledge and expertise that's required of him in order to be able to lead this great nation. And he has an interaction with God right at that moment when he begins this new journey. Watch what the scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse number 6. It says, that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. I mean, that's a pretty big statement coming out of the mouth of the God who created the universe with a spoken word. Anything you want, I'm going to give it to you. Now, listen, this is the only recorded time in all of Scripture that God gives this kind of request to anybody. God looks at Solomon as he steps into leadership and says, whatever you want. What would you say to God if he came up to you and said, I'll give you whatever you want? What do you want? You want the lotto? Is that what you're going to ask for? You're going to ask for Adam Levine to pick you on The Voice and put you on his team? What's that one request that you would ask? Now, watch Solomon as he responds back to God. He says, you've shown great kindness to David, my father, who's previously the king, and now you've made me king in the place of my father, David. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father, David, be confirmed. For you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Now, what I want you to see when we look at this passage is in Solomon's eyes at this moment, as he steps into leadership, look at how he magnifies the size of the weight that he's carrying. In fact, he says that the number of people are as big as the dust of the earth. Like, you mean that every dust particle combined in the entire planet, the entire universe, that's how much this weight you're carrying now, Solomon, feels to you? I love in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7, the same account Solomon is praying, and the verse shows a different side of the story. It says, "Now, O Lord my God," this is Solomon speaking, "you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and don't know how to carry out my duties." Have you ever felt like that before? Do you notice what Solomon does in these two verses? He takes the load that he's carrying and he magnifies it, and he takes his own ability to carry the load and he shrinks it. "As much dust as there is on planet Earth, and I'm a little baby boy, God, help me figure out this problem." Now, you know, when you look at a passage of scripture like this, none of us have ever been king or queens as far as I'm aware of. I know that probably some of our parents told us we were princes and princesses when we were children, but, you know, that's not really true. You're a great person, but you're not a prince. I mean, you're a prince in God's eyes, of course, but you get the idea. None of us have had this kind of load placed onto us where we're the king or the queen of an entire nation of people. But the same thing happens to us, that we get to a place where the load that we're carrying feels like more than we're able to carry. And in Solomon's eyes and in our eyes, when we get into that situation, it feels like a weight that we're unable to carry with the strength that we currently have. Now, for some of us, maybe it's going from high school into college, and I remember that jump when all of a sudden you have all of this freedom to structure your life and your time, yet there's no parent breathing over your neck telling you you got to study for the next test. You can feel overloaded. I remember going from grad school and then into marriage and this new responsibility of being together in a home with another person, and we're together in this thing called life, but there are all these new responsibilities, and I have to start thinking of life through the lens of caring and loving for a spouse, or that moment when we went from being married without kids to that first child. It felt overwhelming. And then 1 to 2, and then, you know, man to zone from 2 to 3. All of these shifts, every time you take on a new level of responsibility and new relationships, it can feel overwhelming. So I want to ask you this question, and I'd like for you to write down the response inside of your program. What relationships and responsibilities that you have are currently stretching you? What relationships and responsibilities that you currently have, which of these are stretching you? Maybe for some of you, it's a child and you're really struggling knowing how to train them and to love them. Maybe there's a friendship in your life at school. Maybe there's a parental relationship between you and your parents, and you're an adult now. Maybe for some of us, it's a project that we're on at work, and we feel like we don't have the skills that we need to move that project forward. What are the relationships and responsibilities that are currently stretching you, that have you in that stretch zone or somewhere between that stretch zone and that danger zone? Both of our campuses, Sunnyvale, I want to encourage you to write this down on your programs, North San Jose. What relationships and responsibilities are currently stretching you? And we can identify with the fact that Solomon, right at this moment, feels the same kind of overwhelming, overloaded feeling that you and I embrace all the time when it comes to being beyond our capacity with our relationships and our responsibilities. And the question is, if you're Solomon and God shows up to you right now in this moment and says to you, I'll grant you any wish that you ask, what is it that you would ask God for? Is it that your child would sleep through the night? Sometimes we're wrestling through that right now. Is it that you would have a little bit more money to pay your mortgage? Is it that that team member on your team at work would get fired, or your boss somehow would get removed, or, you know, somehow end up on another planet somewhere? What's that thing that's stretching you that if God were to come to you right now and say, I'll solve any of your problems, what would you say to him? What would you ask God to do on your behalf? Now watch what Solomon does right here in the middle of this passage. Solomon looks at God after he's gone through this, and he says to God, give me wisdom and knowledge that I might lead these people, for who is able to govern such great people of yours? Now listen, Solomon, you've got the one time in all of scripture that God says, rub the belly of the genie and whatever you wish will come out of the lamp, and you ask for wisdom and knowledge? I mean, Solomon, go and Google what you're trying to figure out. You're asking God to help you figure out the solution for how to structure your army or how to deal with the problem of homelessness in your area. I mean, Solomon, that's all on the internet. And you're asking God to give you wisdom and knowledge when he could give you wealth, when he could give you riches, when he could give you a bigger army. You want wisdom and knowledge? I mean, it just seems like the wrong request if you're just looking at it at face value. But the next question then becomes is, how does God feel about this request? And watch what the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the planets, the one who owns the stars and every particle of dust on earth, the one who is wealthy and powerful beyond comprehension, watch his gracious response back to Solomon. God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth or riches or honor, nor the death of your enemies, since you have not asked for a long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge to govern over my people whom I have made you king. Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given to you, Solomon. And on top of all of this, I will give you wealth and riches and honor such as no king who's ever lived before you has had, and none after you will have. And somebody said, I'm going to God and asking him for wisdom, and tomorrow I'm going to win the lotto. It's all going to work out for me. Solomon requests of God wisdom, and God says, on top of wisdom and knowledge, I will give you everything that follows a life that's lived with wisdom. But I think that the other question that we should ask is, why is this so pleasing to God? Why is God so impacted or even impressed with the request of Solomon, where Solomon would say to him, I need your wisdom? And I think that there's something very important for us to catch from this passage of Scripture. See, I believe that Solomon's request for wisdom is the ultimate form of humility. It's the ultimate acknowledgement of the fact that Solomon doesn't have all the answers. Solomon doesn't know how to structure his military. He's never led a nation this large before. Solomon doesn't know how to deal with problems of poverty. He doesn't have all the answers, but he understands that the one who gave him the keys to the kingdom is the one who can give him the wisdom that he needs at every single moment of leadership to carry the load that he's placed into his hands. And so God looks at Solomon and says, there's no greater request that you could ever ask for. There's no request that could position you in a place to be more blessed than the request for you to come to me, the one who is all-knowing, who is wise in my character, and request of me to give to you wisdom that you need to carry this great load. And today, in the 21st century, there's no request that you could make of God that shows more humility than the request to say to him, God, I need your wisdom to carry this great load that you're asking me to carry. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you asked God for his help? When's the last time you went to God when you were overloaded and you've already checked the load that you're carrying and you've dropped at Jesus' feet the things that you shouldn't be carrying? When's the last time you went to Jesus and you specifically prayed for his help? Now, I know we have a lot of people who are not followers of Jesus at South Bay, but I'm talking to those of you who are Christians. You know what's kind of crazy about the way that God works? God will actually let you try to do it on your own strength and your own wisdom for a period of time. And that's when you go from that stretch zone that we were looking at into the danger zone, where you find yourself at a place where you're ready to throw in the towel. And very simply, the way out of an overloaded life is to lighten the load, but also the way out of an overloaded life is to increase your capacity or to increase your wisdom. And let me tell you something I know about you. I know that your capacity can increase. I know that your capacity throughout the course of your life can grow. Let me tell you why I know this. Because if it couldn't, you'd be sitting in a diaper right now in that seat. Because you learned how to go to the bathroom in a toilet. I know that that's a bad illustration, but you get the idea. Your capacity can grow. You learn how to eat with a fork. You learn how to study. You learn how to put your clothes on. You learn how to become an adult, some of us functioning better than others. But your capacity over the course of life can grow. Your capacity is not fixed. And if you are a follower of Jesus, the same spirit, the same power that conquered the grave lives in you, can give you the power, the strength, and the wisdom that you need to carry the load that Jesus is asking for you to carry. But the practical question that we have to wrestle through is, how do we go about increasing our capacity and our load on a day-to-day basis? I'm so glad that you asked that question. That's a really, really good question. Look at this verse from Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, that so beautifully describes to us how we increase our wisdom and our capacity. Solomon, who God would grant wisdom and would become the wisest man ever to live, I would argue, aside from Jesus, but the wisest man to ever live, watch what he says here. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. And then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge, for the Lord grants wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I love this last part of it that says, for the Lord grants wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We're not just talking about any kind of wisdom. We're talking about the kind of wisdom from the one who created the universe, who knows relationships, who knows every single responsibility that's placed in your hands right now. From him comes knowledge and understanding. Now, here's a question for you. It's rhetorical, but I want you to think about it. Is gaining wisdom hard work or easy? Is it hard to become more wise, or is it easy to become more wise? Well, I'll tell you what I think. Listen to this again. Watch as we look at just the verbs from this passage of Scripture. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. I've already lost myself, my ADD, in this passage. I mean, I got to do all of these things to gain wisdom. Yep, and on top of that, you got to cry out for insight, and you have to ask for understanding, and you have to search for them as you would for silver. Seek them, go after them, find them as you would his hidden treasures. Then, after you've done all of these things, you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and then you will gain knowledge, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Is it hard work? It takes diligence. It takes faithfulness. It takes perseverance. Wisdom just doesn't come to your life dropped out of the sky. Google is awesome, but Google gives you information, not wisdom. Yahoo can give you information as well, in case you're wondering. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God's perspective on the load that you're carrying, and the Scripture communicates that it requires this kind of intensity to discover God's solution for your load and your responsibilities that you're carrying. And if you are in a place today where you find yourself in the danger zone, one of the primary solutions to get you back to the stretch zone is to increase your capacity through wisdom from above. So what I want to do very briefly is I want to walk you through several suggestions and ideas of how you can go about increasing your wisdom. Now listen, this is not an exhaustive list, okay? This is just out of my own journey, how I've seen God increase wisdom when I needed it in my life. And some of you could pick apart my list. You might add to it. You might take away. I want you to look at this list as we go through it, and I want you to pick the top 3 to 4 things that you can do in your life this week to help you gain wisdom. So we're going to go through this. The first thing that I've noticed in my journey is that in order to gain wisdom, I have to be willing to acknowledge that I don't have all the answers. Now, I know for those of you who are men, this is a little bit more difficult for you. Because men, we have all the answers, don't we? Right? No? Yes? No. See, it's being willing to acknowledge that you don't know it all. You don't know everything you need to know about finance. You don't know everything you need to know about business and work. You don't know everything you need to know about parenting, about dating for those of you who are single. Some guys stay single for a really long period of time because they're not willing to acknowledge that they don't know how to get a spouse. And a willingness to say, I don't know, I don't have the knowledge and wisdom that I need to carry the load that God's asking me to carry is the beginning of wisdom. It's, for lack of better words, humility. It's the fear of the Lord that drives us to understand that he knows it all, but I don't. So I have to be willing. Now, the second thing is this. I want to challenge you to pick one area of your life where you need God's wisdom. What's that one area for you? Is it dating? Finding a spouse? Is it knowing how to go about your responsibilities with schoolwork? Is it a friendship that you're struggling with? Is it parenting that you need wisdom on? What's that one area? See, I think if we try to overwhelm ourselves with all of these areas where we need wisdom, then we find ourselves discouraged and frustrated. If we could just isolate that one place in our lives where we need God's wisdom, where we need more wisdom, and then begin to next, after we've picked that one area, I know that this sounds very, very almost rudimentary, but the next thing that I've seen is a willingness to get on your knees and ask Jesus for help. You know, so many of my days, I start on my knees in my living room, acknowledging to Jesus that I don't have all the answers. I've said so many times in the last several months to God, I have no idea how to parent a family with three kids. I have no idea how to carry the load of a church that's growing when I'm 32 years old, and a lot of people in our church are twice my age. We're so glad that you're here, but man, you have way more wisdom and knowledge than I do. And I'm leading a staff of over 20 people. I've never been here before in my life. And so many times where I feel this load being more than I think I can carry, it's getting down on my knees and saying to Jesus, I need your help. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe you're going to skip this step. We'll come back to why I still think this is important for you to do, even if you're not a believer in Jesus. But this simple step of acknowledging to God that you need his help, I think is what endears his heart to you to want to give heaven's resources to help you when you're beyond your capacity. Number four is this. Simply start reading the teachings of Jesus in the book of Proverbs. What did Jesus say? He said, come to me, those of you who are weary and heavy laden, and learn from me. It's amazing that if you just go through the teachings of Jesus with your life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament of the Bible, and commit to reading a chapter or two a day and ask God for wisdom for how he wants you to live your life, it is amazing the wisdom that God will give to you. The other thing that I've gone through the last several years is I have been reading through the book of Proverbs one chapter a day and praying that God would give me one verse that would speak into how I can live with wisdom with the relationships and responsibilities that he's given to me. And it is amazing how many times, you know, my boys have been struggling now going 2 to 3 and learning how to get our kids to pick up after themselves. And some of you who are parents, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you can get to the end of the day and every toy is thrown out across the house and there are diapers in random places, you know, in the cabinet on top of the dish. I'm just kidding, that never happens to us. But there are things everywhere. And we started wrestling through how do we deal with the shift from 2 to 3 kids. And there's this one proverb that says that a worker's appetite drives him on. In other words, you don't pay somebody before they do a job. So here's what we did. My wife, Stacy, discovered this. She started having the kids pick up their toys before they get 30 minutes of computer time. And it's amazing, one piece of wisdom, how it lightened the load for our entire family. And God's wisdom is practical. It can be applied into your relationships and your responsibilities. And reading through the teachings of Jesus and the book of Proverbs can radically alter. And it's not that the rest of the Bible is not important and it doesn't apply to our lives, but if you don't know where to start, start there and begin your journey of seeking wisdom at that place. The next two things that I want to just recommend is this, is to find a mentor who can help you. You know, I'm sorry I keep harping on all the single guys here who are trying to find wives, but we have a lot of them. And I think it's interesting how a lot of times we, you know, I don't do this anymore because I'm married, but single guys, who do they get their advice for dating? Single guys! That's stupid! He's not married. And you're asking him for how to figure it out, right? Go to somebody who found a beautiful, righteous fox and ask him, how did you get that woman to marry you? I mean, I know it seems so simple, but it's a great strategy. Finding a mentor. You're struggling financially. There are people at South Bay. There are life groups here where people who have done incredibly well financially would be willing to sit down with you for an hour and share with you their wisdom that they've gained over the last 30 years of life. And all you have to do is ask. You have to cry out. You have to seek it. You have to go after it. Find a mentor in one area of your life. And then the last one is to read a book on the subject. You know what's amazing? How many books there are on Amazon that in our generation, you can go online and you can type in the header with every struggle that you face and find an incredible book with wisdom that can apply to your life. I know sometimes it can be overwhelming because there are so many of them. That's why they have reviews on there. But, you know, it's amazing how the wisdom that we need is out there. Yet so many times we get stuck and we keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. What is that called? That's insanity. When you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting the same results or different results doing the same thing, and in order to get out of the danger zone that we're in, we have to switch our perspective to begin to pursue the wisdom that's necessary to carry the load that Jesus asked for us to carry. Now, as we conclude our time, I want to share with you a prayer that I want to ask you to pray this week. That is the spiritual perspective in conclusion. This is a prayer for greater capacity. And I want to ask you to write this down in your notes at Sunnyvale, here at North San Jose, to write down this prayer for greater capacity. It's simply this. If we can all say it together, both of our campuses, out loud. If you don't believe in Jesus, you can just wait till we get to the I need help part. If we can say it out loud together, Jesus, I need help. Let's start again, everybody at both of our campuses. Jesus, I need help. Grant me wisdom. Give me strength. And he'll do it. He will give you the wisdom you need and the strength you need if you and I will go to him and ask of him. Followers of Jesus, when was the last time you asked God for wisdom? When was the last time you asked him for strength? He's waiting on you to come to him and request of him the wisdom that you need for your life. And he'll let you do it on your own strength. And you'll go from stretch zone to danger zone and you'll throw in the towel. Or you can stop today and you can come to him and you can say, I need you. I can't do this on my own, God. Help me carry the load that you have placed into my hands. And then I want to address those of you who are exploring what it means to become a follower of Jesus. Those of you who are agnostic and atheistic and you're trying to figure out all these things about Jesus. Might I invite you to test drive the ways of Jesus? To actually say a prayer? I know maybe you've never prayed before in your life, but to say, God, I'm not really sure if you're there, but if you are there, would you reveal yourself to me and give me the wisdom that I need to live for you? And my belief is that if we will seek God and his wisdom, no matter where we are in our journey spiritually, God will give us that wisdom that we need to live our lives. I remember very specifically, I'm going to close on this story, a good friend of mine that was overloaded with his life. He was a college student, and it was in a previous church that Stacy and I were a part of. And one day I sat down for lunch with this good friend of mine, and he said to me, Andy, I just can't carry the weight anymore. I have this bitterness from my past. I have this emptiness in my heart. I really don't believe, or I'm not sure what I believe about God, but I need some help with my life. And I looked at him, and I said, bro, I know, you know, this is all new to you. He came from a Buddhist background, Buddhist and Shinto in his background, and was just kind of exploring. And I said, hey, listen, I just want to ask you to take like 30 days. And every day, just to say, Jesus, if you're there, will you help me? Jesus, if you're there, will you help me? In fact, you can start right now. It's like, are you sure? I'm positive you can do it right now. He's like, should I close my eyes? No, don't even have to close your eyes. Just right here in the coffee shop, you, between you and I, we won't scream it. We won't dance. We'll just right here say, Jesus, I need your help. Just do it right now. And ask him if he's real to reveal himself to you. Right there in the coffee shop, this good friend of mine named Kei Kamahora from Japan prays to Jesus and says, Jesus, if you're real, will you reveal yourself to me and give me the strength and wisdom I need for my life? He goes out, starts praying, and about 2 weeks later, he comes to me. And he said, hey, Andy, I know 2 weeks ago I didn't believe in this concept of Jesus, and it was all foreign to me. I started reading through the teachings of Jesus in the Bible, and there's this one verse that says, by the love of followers of Jesus will you know that God is real. And one day, I'm there, and my eyes opened, and there were all these people that were radically, irrationally loving me, unlike I deserved. And in that moment, that one verse from the Bible clicked in my heart, and I realized this is God revealing himself to me. And now that hole that was in my heart and that weight that I felt is gone, and I'm made whole. There's peace, there's joy. My life is entirely different. It'll never be the same again. And just that one simple prayer to Jesus for his help, for him to reveal himself, was the catalyst to this man's life being forever changed. And no matter where you are in your journey today, there is a God that loves you, that cares for you, that wants to help you carry the load that's in your hands. And all he is asking of you is for you to come to him and to pray this simple prayer. Jesus, I need your help. Grant me wisdom and give me strength. I invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads at both of our campuses. Jesus, thank you that you give us the wisdom that we need. I pray that you would increase our wisdom in your name.